You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Breaking news out of St. Louis. Major League Baseball has granted the Cardinals an automatic berth to the 2016 postseason because, hey, why not? That is how our April Fool's Day podcast begins for the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm Matt Wehmeyer, joined by Jennifer Langosch on this April Fool's Day, of course. And Jennifer, obviously, baseball's not going to grant the Cardinals nor anybody else an automatic playoff berth. But in going back and looking at the Cardinals' recent history the past 15, 16 years, it's really staggering. They've made the postseason 12 of the last 16 years, 6 of the last 7, and the last 5 in a row. Even though the Cardinals do have this reputation for being one of the most successful franchises in all of sports, do you think that sometimes gets a little bit overlooked still?
Yeah, you know what, Matt, from all I've read, the Cubs, I think, already have this automatic
postseason berth. That's right.
So they're in. So I guess there's 4 more spots to play with. But no, you're right. I mean, the sustained success of this Cardinals organization has been remarkable. And I think it's one of the reasons why, amid all this talk about the Cubs, you can never count the Cardinals out. They always find a way to be in it. They find a way mid-season to make the moves they need to make, whether it's calling up players from their seemingly never-ending, you know, supply in the farm system or going out and making deals. They find a way to win. So I think this sets up to be another exciting season. And again, I'm not going to count against them, not until there's kind of proof to do so.
Yeah, and like we've discussed in previous podcasts, it's amazing that a team that won 100 games is entering the season not as an underdog, but not also as a favorite, because like you said, it's been all Cubs, 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 you know, for the past 6 months, but never, ever count out this Cardinals team heading into 2016 especially. So, Jennifer, as spring training is winding down the last couple of days here before opening nights on April 3rd, let's kind of get your observations based on what you've seen in spring training the past month plus. Usually by this point, roster spots and rotation spots are pretty much solidified, but is there one area on this team that is not quite solid just yet? It's a little bit soft in terms of a player that doesn't quite have a complete lockdown of his position, whether either a position spot or in the rotation right now.
Yeah, I mean, the roster is fairly set, and you know, and that came about kind of in an unexpected way on Thursday when Ruben Tejada hobbled off the field with a quad strain and, in essence, opened up a roster spot for Jeremy Hazelbaker, an outfielder who had a sensational spring. We talked about him a couple weeks ago on the podcast, kind of the surprise candidate in camp, Greg Garcia earning that other bench spot. But I think now what's unclear is, even though we know the 25 that are going to be on the roster opening day, what's going to happen at that shortstop position? I mean, the Cardinals are essentially where they were 2 weeks ago when they were without Johnny Peralta, kind of the reality that he won't be back until at least June or July. They went out and signed Ruben Tejada thinking that he could provide that coverage at short. Now he is out for the foreseeable future. We don't know exactly how long just yet. So how much do they have to turn over to Jed Jerko, a guy who they had hoped to maybe use more as a utility infielder at multiple positions, a guy who only has 28 career starts at shortstop at the major league level? And then how does Greg Garcia fit into there as well? He did come up through the system as a shortstop, but isn't necessarily so proven at the major league level. So kind of the players are fit, but I think there is still some ambiguity in terms of roles.
Yeah, there is a weird voodoo hex on that shortstop position right now for this Cardinals team. As you said, Peralta first, now Tejada, and that is a big, big question mark for the Cardinals heading into the regular season for sure. Jennifer, you touched on Jeremy Hazelbaker, a great story. 28 years old, career minor leaguer, makes the opening day roster. Fantastic for him. That kind of leads us to our second topic. Is he the guy, or is it perhaps someone else that is most likely to have a breakout season at the big league level in 2016?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how much playing time Jeremy gets. I mean, he obviously got a lot in spring, but that's not unusual, as a lot of your everyday players only play every other day, play half the game, this and that. So he got some great exposure. That being said, it's hard to see exactly how he's going to fit outside of a bench role on this major league club. And also, you know, kind of the length of time that Ruben Tejada is out could also dictate how long he actually stays on the major league roster. But, you know, for me, when I kind of scan this roster and envision who could have a breakout season, I think you stay in the outfield, but I think it's got to be Stephen Piscotty and Randall Grichuk, two guys, young players, guys who are not everyday starters at the major league just a year ago. Now both getting an opportunity. I think Stephen Piscotty's going to fit in that two-hole. I wouldn't be surprised if Randall Grichuk becomes your cleanup hitter. So when you talk about an offense kind of needing a boost, those two young players who the Cardinals hope could be faces of this franchise moving forward could have a breakout year. So I'm excited to see what both those guys can do with 550, 600 plate appearances. Again, it would be the first kind of full, hopefully healthy season for both of the majors.
Yeah, Piscotty and Grichuk could very well become the faces of this new wave of young Cardinals players who could take the franchise into this next era of success, and they certainly have the potential to pull that off, no question there. Jennifer, to backtrack a little bit, you talked about the uncertainty at the shortstop position right now. Is there another unknown or another X factor on this team that gives you a little bit of cause for concern?
Yeah, I don't know if cause for concern, but I think the other unknown is first base. You know, when kind of spring training opened 7 weeks ago, you know, we knew that Matt Holliday had experimented at the position throughout the winter, but, you know, the Cardinals had kind of couched that as something that, you know, Matt wanted to do personally, maybe for the longevity of his career down the road. Now, all of a sudden, here we are, you know, right on the precipice of the season opening, and he might be your opening day first baseman. So how are the Cardinals going to kind of navigate that new versatility? How much is Matt going to play at first base? What does that mean for a Matt Adams and a Brandon Moss, the two guys who we thought were going to kind of be the timeshare at first base? What does that mean for Tommy Pham? Does he get more exposure in the outfield? So it's great to certainly have the flexibility that the Cardinals do have now that Matt can play a second position, but it does kind of bring a little bit of an unknown. And, you know, so many people want to know what the lineup is going to look like and what's the lineup going to be. I think this lineup is going to be so fluid because I think day-to-day we're going to see a different starting eight very regularly on the field because of all the flexibility that they have.
Yeah, a lot of variables in this lineup for Mike Matheny to play with as the season goes on. And Jennifer, to wrap up this portion of kind of our projections and predictions for 2016, you saw a lot of minor league players in Cardinals camp the past month plus wearing all the crazy jersey numbers in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. So give me one prospect, maybe two, that we could see get called up to the major league level before the All-Star break.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll start with Aledmys Díaz, and he's kind of the obvious choice now that we're talking about the Cardinals shortstop attrition. I mean, he is the young shortstop, now 2 years into his career here with the Cardinals. Had a very strong spring. The Cardinals sent him down in mid-May right after they had signed Ruben Tejada, thinking that they had filled that shortstop hole, but also wanting Díaz to get a little more exposure at AAA. This is a guy who had a very good season in AA, was moved up to AAA the very end of last year, only has 14 games there, followed that with a kind of a breakout, you know, period in the Arizona Fall League. But a little bit more exposure for him, if his offensive game can kind of catch up with him defensively, and couple that with the fact that the Cardinals still may have some questions at the shortstop position for a couple months going into the season, he's a guy to keep an eye on and somebody the Cardinals may turn to if things aren't working out with Jed Jerko and or if Ruben Tejada is out longer than expected.
Yeah, stranger things have happened. The young guy could get his shot before he expects it, before anyone expects it. We'll see how that plays out, certainly. Jennifer, now for your bold predictions for the 2016 season, and these are indeed bold. Let's start off here in the power department. No Cardinals player, somewhat surprisingly, has had a 30-homer season for this team since Carlos Beltran back in 2012. But who, in your eyes, is going to end that drought this season?
You know, it's interesting because this team has several candidates for a change. That kind of indicates the lack of power that this team has generated the last several years. But I would point to Randall Grichuk as a guy. We talked about him as a breakout candidate for this team. He is a guy who hit 17 home runs last year, the same amount as Johnny Peralta, and almost half as many at bats. So this is a guy with scary power. When you look at his Statcast numbers, the exit velocity, he is right up there with the Giancarlo Stanton of baseball. So this is a guy with natural power potential. Again, the fact that he's going to get everyday playing time, as long as he can stay healthy, which has always been an asterisk in his career, and we saw it last year, a couple weight room incidents that took him off the field for periods of time. But if he can stay healthy, I think we're going to see a power surge from Grichuk. And then in a more general sense, I just think this team is going to hit more home runs than we've seen the last few years. When you have a healthy Matt Holliday back in the lineup, you have Matt Carpenter back, who led this team with 28 homers a year ago, and Matt Adams and Brandon Moss in there as well. I do think we'll see a little bit more power, but I expect a big season from Randall Grichuk.
Yeah, I think a few more souvenirs in those outfield seats off the bats of Cardinals players this year for sure. I certainly agree with that. Jennifer, bold prediction at number two, when you talk about the elite starters in the National League, you automatically think of names like Kershaw, Greinke, Arrieta, Garrett Cole. You think somebody from the Cardinals staff is going to make that leap this year and become, if not quite in that class, very, very close.
I do, and you know, we'll put Adam Wainwright in that category already. I don't think that would be much of a bold prediction to assume that he could have a standout year again. But my pick to kind of ascend even more, take that next step, Carlos Martinez. We just watched this kid have a tremendous spring and really just kind of seemed to come into his own, which when we started camp, he was actually on a slow and modified throwing program, given that he had ended last year with a shoulder injury. He worked through that diligently, and by the end of camp, was absolutely dominant in his last start. He had the crispest stuff among all the Cardinals starters this spring. Really feels good about where he is. You could tell he really focused on his focus on the mound and channeling the emotions to help them benefit him as best he can. So this is a guy who was an all-star a year ago, so it's not like he's not on the radar, but he's somebody now who can push toward that 200-inning mark, not be limited in his workload. And again, I think this we're going to see a young pitcher kind of come into his own this year. So don't be surprised to see Carlos Martinez, I think, emerge as one of the best pitchers in the National League this year.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a possibility for sure. And Jennifer, to wrap things up, bold prediction number three, something you've touched on already regarding Matt Holliday, but this is a guy entering his age 36 season that is going to make a drastic defensive position, and it could have quite the domino effect on some other players on this roster.
Yeah, and this is a surprise to me. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, kind of, you know, the word all winter was that this was something that Matt was doing maybe for the future, or was something that had Jason Hayward come back and the Cardinals didn't really come in the outfield, then maybe Matt Holliday at first base made a lot of sense. You know, that being said, I think coming into spring, even the Cardinals didn't really expect him to be that much of a viable option to start the season. That being said, give credit to Matt for the work that he did over the winter. He's in phenomenal shape just generally, but the work that he did at first base, he was not exposed there at all this spring. He looks very comfortable. He basically kind of got to run through all the different plays and scenarios that a first baseman would need to understand and kind of go through during the season, and he handled those seamlessly. So this is a guy who I wouldn't actually be surprised, a guy who has played every inning of his major league career in left field. I wouldn't be surprised if he makes more starts at first base this year than he does in the outfield. Again, that frees up the Cardinals to utilize Tommy Pham, another right-handed hitter, against left-handed pitching. And I think the Cardinals even like the idea of maybe moving Matt Holliday to first base and letting Brandon Moss get a little of that time in left field if that can improve the team defensively. So I never would have predicted this even 2 months ago, but I wouldn't be surprised if we see Matt Holliday making his first start on opening day at first base.
Yeah, that would be a surprise, but not a shock, as you just outlined the reasons why. So, Jennifer, as much fun as you've had covering spring training, I know you're chomping at the bit to write some articles about games that actually count, correct?
I am. You know, those spring days are nice with the sunshine, but it is nice to actually count. Write about things that people care about.
Yes, I could not agree more. And the next time we chat on the podcast, the games will count. As we speak again here on April Fool's Day, opening night is just 2 days away. Jennifer, great stuff as always. Jennifer Langos joining us this week and every week. We'll do it again next week. Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, St. Louis Cardinals.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.